And you want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So I'd like to tell you today that I'm loaded for bear, but the truth of the matter is I feel like I need a coonskin cap to put on. We're my wife and I and our family have gotten away here for a couple days staying. I won't even tell you where we are. It doesn't matter. The wind's blowing. I'm out on the beach. The sun's coming up. It's a beautiful morning, but I've been spending all morning trying to get this, trying to get set up at a place where I could have some internet, where I could yell and scream and holler. If you saw where I was, you wouldn't believe it. But it's great to be here. Beach is right here. Sun's coming up right here. We're staying on the 15th floor of this place behind us. And I got to tell you, I needed some time to get away. So my wife said, why are you doing your show? I said, that's the highlight of my day, to get up and dive in here with our brothers. And Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I forgot to pray. I've been so busy here, Lord Jesus. Just thank you for this miraculous place and this beautiful sunset and those waves that never quit. Let us know that you are all enduring, Lord, throughout all time and all places. You're the King of the Kings and the Lord of the Lords. Help us to glorify you here this morning through all we do in Jesus' name. Hey, we had a great weekend. Boy, the wind is blowing. Jesus, gravity. I hope my wife finds me. We're 6 miles down the beach here. Wow. We had a great weekend at Mayberry RFD Mount Airy. And as always happens, I tip my cap. First of all, I'm going to tip my cap to Larry, who made the most unbelievable brisket and chicken wings and cooked for everybody down there on Saturday afternoon. I know that's hard work for Larry. Larry and his granddaughter. Larry, we appreciate it, man. You're always, Larry, as much as you and I bump heads sometimes, you'll have a willingness to serve beyond what I can even explain. And I just want to honor you and thank you for doing that, Larry, because, you know, most people won't do it if there's not something in it for them. And I can always count on you to be there and to do it, Larry. So tip my cap to you. And Mike and Polly, and what a wonderful thing they put together. And as always, we were at Mayberry RFD. We were at Mount Airy, North Carolina. And I was a little late getting there because, I was dragging my family down there with me. And Mike and Polly had, I didn't count for sure, maybe 20 people that showed up. And the highlight for me, they did a lot. They did some other different things before we got there. But the highlight for me, as soon as we got there, we went downtown Mount Airy to what Mike called, I guess they call Preacher's Corner. And we did a honking wave. It was Bobby Lee was there. I don't know if Bobby's got some, he'll get some video of that probably for us in the next couple of days. But it was really, really good because folks, it was amazing to watch because at the honking wave, even though we're holding Trump signs, and not Mark Trump, although Mark Trump was there, it became a take off your mask. Come on out, take off your mask. And it was amazing to watch people on the street and driving by in cars. They started out really, really, how would I say it? They didn't know what to do. They'd never seen anything like it. We're out there holding flags and Trump signs and take off your mask. And OJ had a sign that said, women burn bras, men burn masks. And we were on the street doing that. And it was amazing to watch people begin to take their masks off. It's amazing. And so I become more convinced all the time that courage builds courage. Courage does, folks. And we just have to be a little bit more courageous in what we do. We just got to be a little bit more courageous because there are a lot of people out there who, for whatever reason, are just sheeple. And folks, listen, this isn't about masks. And I don't want to get into the whole masks debate this morning, okay? It's not about that. It's about the most powerful contaminant or contagion. Maybe that's the word. The most powerful contagion you will ever find is courage. I've never seen anything spread more rapidly than courage. Fear can spread just as rapidly, but courage conquers fear. And as we were out on the streets and we're holding up those signs and we're doing that flash mob, whatever they call it, it was amazing. And I was really encouraged also because we met some new folks again. We had some new folks come up. And I got somebody yelling at me up there. Hey, look up there. Wait a minute. They're all on TV up there. Reese, yay. I love my family. God, I love my family. I lost track. What was I talking about? I was talking about a contaminant. No, where was I? I had a great thought coming. Somebody, where was I? Anybody listening out there? Anybody know where? I know where it was. About the new people that showed up. Oh my goodness, folks! I was so excited. Dan showed up, and I'm not going to embarrass Dan, but Dan showed up from what a story Dan had. But he's from Madison, Wisconsin, and now he lost his wife, and now he's living down in, I'm going to forget the town. Doesn't matter. Down south with his son-in-law so he could be around. His wife died, moved down with his son-in-law and his family so they could be with his grandkids. And just like so many other people, Dan is just crying for some place to belong, some place to plug in. We had about 5 or 6 new folks that showed up. More than that, maybe. Mike, can you talk to it? How many showed up? Well, Mike's talking to you a second. Look what I get to see this morning. Hang on there. Can you guys see that? Maybe you can't see that sunrise coming up. There it is. Oh, my goodness. Mike, talk a little bit about the new folks that showed up. Go ahead real quickly.
Yeah, we had about, I didn't count them, Polly probably did, 35 or 40 Polly's in here. She can might give us an accurate number.
37 people
showed up at Mayberry. Wow!
Yeah, and we started at Jeb's.
From North Carolina.
We started, you missed it, but we started at Jeb Stewart's home place called Boral Hill. Jeb Stewart grew up 8 miles from Mount Airy, and the post office back there in 1830 was located across the border from Virginia. Jeb Stewart grew up, born and raised in Ararat, Virginia. And his dad, a lawyer, tasked him with picking up the mail beginning at age 7. Coach, age 7. How old is David?
5.
Your grandson. Huh?
5.
Well, imagine him in 2 years being tasked by his father to pick up the mail 8 miles away on horseback. Is it any wonder Jeb Stewart became Robert E. Lee's go-to guy to lead the cavalry during the Civil War? And he was a man of principle. So we honored Jeb Stewart by singing the song, the hymn that he asked be sung as he was dying in 1864 after being gut shot in Richmond. And that song was Rock of Ages. So we sang all 3 stanzas of Rock of Ages at Laurel Hill. That's how the day started, honoring a man of character, a Christian man of character, a Christian warrior of character. And
Amen.
then you joined us at Christian Warrior on Preacher's Corner, and you yelled at everybody, told them all to take their masks off. I saw one woman take her mask off, jump up and down on it.
It was wonderful, wasn't it, Mike? I don't know if Mark Trump, anybody was there. It was wonderful to watch that dynamic, that courage spread. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a great day. Bobby Lee, hats off to him. He did tactical training, showed us how we can use just our fists to lean into it. And if those Antifa thugs get in our face, then he showed us how to put our fists in their face and up their chin and make sure we get out of there alive.
It was all good. Hey, Mike,
Joseph, too. Joseph Allen did some.
Oh, yes, Joseph did great with guns. We shot guns. We banged away in an indoor range. Down there with Jason. I'm sure I'm going to forget somebody. I'm sorry if you're in the huddle and I forget to thank you, but it was a great day.
30-some people. And folks, listen, I just keep singing the same song. They're out there by the thousands. They're out there by the thousands, and all of them saying the same thing. If I had Dan on there, maybe I'll have Dan on here. Dan, his wife died from kidney cancer, and his whole life is devastated. Had just built a beautiful dream home, and everything gone, and he loses his wife and looks around and says, I got all this. I can't live here. Said everywhere he went, he thought of his wife. Every room he went into, I can't live here. So he dissolved everything, sold everything, picked up everything and moved down south to be with his daughter and her husband. And talked about trying to find churches, wandering around, not being able to find a church, and thought he found a church, and then this COVID hits. And you know what happens, right? COVID hits, and then you got to wear masks, and then you can only watch online, and it was a God bless Dan. And you know what? I know Mike and Mark and Joseph and everybody was there. There are Dans like that all over the country. I have great folks. Listen, I don't know what the spirit is I have on me. I have great anticipation and great confidence that the Lord is orchestrating things beyond what we could ever imagine. And we can laugh all we want to about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and we'll get into that a little bit here. Somebody orchestrated that baby. Now listen, Right Wing Watch and all you guys, I don't know how long she's been dead. I really don't know how long she's been dead, but to strategically have that happen right now, less than 2 months from the election, tells me that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And the battle lines are being clearly drawn in this battle, in this fight. That if you, all the never Trumpers out there, I'm going to open it up. We'll talk about this here a little bit. Oh, all those never Trumpers out there who say they're never going to vote for Donald Trump. Really? We have the opportunity to replace a conservative. We have an opportunity to put a conservative in Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat. Are you kidding me? Never Trumpers sing. Sorry there, guys. Don't mind me. I'm doing a podcast. No, go ahead and turn it on. That's right. Yeah, go ahead. I'll get everything. Yeah, thank you. I'm sitting right. Look what I'm looking at here. I got the water. I got the shower right here. And these guys just got some shells. And this is what it's like, man. So they just don't want to get me wet. And I appreciate that. So again, anybody see? I think the Lord is just like squeezing water out of wet underwear. You know what I'm saying? He just squeeze and squeeze and oh yeah, Ginsburg, here you go. Oh, you're never Trumper. Here you go. And here's what I think. There aren't going to be any fence riders left. You know, hey folks, these people think I'm crazy. I'm doing a podcast.
No, you're good. I understand.
I've seen crazier.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
At least you're talking to a laptop, you know.
There ain't going to be no middle ground. There ain't going to be no middle ground. You're either going to be for him or you're going to be against him. You either want to save babies or you don't want to save babies. I mean, this is so awesome. What an awesome moment. But here's the thing. What if we don't respond properly? What if we don't respond properly at this moment? What if Christians stay home? What if Christians still don't want to vote for Donald Trump because he grabbed women's whatever's, because he's got orange hair and he's harsh and he doesn't. What an opportunity that lies before us. This, folks, trading Ruth Bader Ginsburg for anybody, let alone a God-fearing person that would fill that spot. I'm going to shut up a minute. I want to hear what you guys think about it, about the opportunity that lies before. See, all God, listen. Hang on, Mike. I heard you. God, if open your eyes and see God ringing things. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? All of a sudden, it's not about COVID anymore. From here on, baby, it ain't about COVID. I promise you, COVID's going to go on the back row. And now it's going to be about that Supreme Court pick. Go ahead, Mike.
Saturday, when you were in Mayberry, I was so glad to be with you on the streets, but... There were about 400 people. Somebody needs to mute. Hold on, I'm muting some people here. In Mayberry on the same day, Ralph Reed ran his one of his faith and family carnivals there in one of the big mega churches.
Right
in Mayberry. I went to a lot of those in my career, my 40-year career in politics. But here's the takeaway. I'm so glad I was on the streets with you, because the truth is dying in the streets. It's pretty much dead inside the churches, but
it's already dead. My good point. It's dead inside the church. It's still alive in the streets.
But here's the takeaway that's hopeful to me. We had a guy that was there, and he gave me a full report. The word that was used most frequently inside that church on Saturday with those evangelifish was Trump. It was all about Trump. Mm-hmm. Trump. And that's not. usually the case, you know, back along with Bushes and whatevers, you know, and all yep. those other Republicans. They always tried to be a little more nonpartisan-ish, if you know what I mean. And they weren't that way. They were Trump, Trump, Trump all day long, which is good. Good
it
news.
It is good. It is good. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Yeah, huh? That this guy, everybody called a heathen, that this guy is rallying the church. It's amazing. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people seem to have the conundrum of how do I treat the Ginsburg death? You know, I'm inside, they're happy about it. But what will people think? I want to just bring this out. What did God's chosen children, what did the Israelites do when they crossed the Red Sea and then all those people behind them got drowned? Did they worry about being proper and showing proper respect for dead? No, they made up songs about how happy they were.
Yep, Larry, that was before they got Christianized. That's before they got into the New Testament where everybody got born. Hey, Mike, pull up my Facebook page real quick. Because listen, I put out a meme. Larry, thanks for poking that bear for me. Because folks, I'm not backing down for this one. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. I put this meme up there. See if Mike can find it. Just on my homepage. I think maybe it's at the top, Mike. It might be up higher. I don't know. Let's see. Now keep going. You're doing a good job. Because I want people to see this. Yeah, there. Go there. Go there. Should I put this meme up? Purposefully. We're going to get to that here in a second, too. Going down, Mike. A little bit lower. There I am. Hi, me.
Hey, Coach.
Yep. Jack, go ahead. Keep going, Mike.
Where were the mourners when the dogs were licking up Jezebel's blood?
Right there, Mike. Back up. Okay, how about this, Jack? Here's the meme I put up, and boy, has it sent the snowflakes a scrambling. I said this. Hitler condoned the killing of at least 6 million. Ginsburg, 60 million. Do you mourn Hitler's death? Who's more wicked?
Coach, hey boys, go down hey boys, to comments.
That'll stab you in the gut right there, boys and girls. That'll stab you jellyfish in the gut. Go ahead, Mark.
It's all legal too, right, Coach?
Hitler didn't kill him, Mark. He just ruled it legal to do it. He didn't kill him, right? Ginsburg didn't kill anybody. She just ruled it legal to do it. She ruled it legal to kill him. Oh, my goodness. Right? Come on here, folks. And we're supposed to.
Stalin killed 20 million, and then we rewarded him with all of Eastern Europe.
That's right, Jack. How about this? We're gonna see now all kinds of honors and a big funeral for this wicked, wicked woman. Now, listen to me. Do you think she had the opportunity to turn to Jesus? I bet she did. I bet she had the opportunity to turn to Jesus. I'm sorry she didn't turn to Jesus. But if you think I'm sitting around and crying over her death? I'm not. Hey, listen, the Bible says the Lord doesn't rejoice over the death of the wicked. I'm not rejoicing over it. I'm not rejoicing that she's dead, okay? I'm rejoicing that she's no longer destroying lives. Can somebody say amen? Does anybody understand the difference of those two things? I don't rejoice she's dead.
Amen.
I rejoice that she's no longer sitting on that court destroying Christian morality. I rejoice over that. I'm sorry.
Amen.
I'm sorry she died without Jesus, but I'm not mourning. I'm not mourning. Is there something wrong with me? Hey, Mike, am I still a Christian? Folks, am I still a Christian if I say that? Am I allowed to say that? Hey, Mike, go up there to Jeremiah Johnson. Say who? Yeah, that Jeremiah Johnson. I want to read for you what Jeremiah Johnson wrote right here underneath there, Mike. See if you can click on that. I have a hard time seeing it. Maybe somebody can read it for me or would choose to because I'm on my computer and it's really, really, really hard for me to see. Okay, there I can do it. I don't know if you guys know Jeremiah Johnson. I don't know him. He's one of us. Here's his response to the death of RGB. Parts of the American church have become so lukewarm that they would have tried to comfort Jezebel on a sickbed that God himself threw her on. It would have highlighted her accomplishments over the years, found the good in her. They would have found ways to celebrate Hitler and King Herod, all in the name of false justice and an unbiblical definition of love. Jeremiah Johnson says, folks, I'm going to keep sounding the alarm as long as I have breath in my lungs. Too many American Christians have created a God made in their own image, not the God of the Bible. And for all those living under the delusion of the new covenant, false grace that prevents God's justice and wrath from being active, please look over these scriptures below. John 3:36 says the wrath of God is currently and continually abiding upon those who reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Folks, that's in John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, those who believe in him shall perish and have everlasting life. But the last verse of that chapter says the wrath of God abides. Apart from Christ, the wrath of God abides upon it. The wrath of God is abiding upon Ruth Bader Ginsburg, my friends. Acts 5:1 through 16 says, Ananias and Sapphira, they were believers. They're struck down dead for lying to the Holy Spirit. In Acts 12:20 through 24, King Herod is struck dead by an angel of the Lord for not giving God glory. In Acts 13:8, Elymas, the magician, is struck blind by the hand of the Lord for being a fraud and son of the devil. In Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed toward humanity by allowing them to reap what they sow. Therefore, God gave them over. 1 Corinthians 5 says the immoral brother is judged and handed over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Hey, folks, it's all right out of the Bible. This is Jesus loves me, this I know. That's all in there too, right? Before the Bible tells me so. 1 Corinthians 11 says believers are judged, become sick, some even die for not judging themselves before partaking of the Lord's Supper. Hymenaeus and Alexander were delivered to Satan for blasphemy. That's 1 Timothy. Jezebel is thrown on a bed of violent sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into terrible suffering unless they repent of their deeds. Furthermore, Jesus said he will strike her followers with a deadly disease, and then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts. I will repay each one of you what you your deeds deserve. Man! Ruth Bader Ginsburg ruled repeatedly on the side of infanticide, partial birth infanticide, homosexual marriage, and officiated homosexual weddings, against religious liberties, and saw to it that the Supreme Court stopped dating their documents in the year of our Lord. Ginsburg has now discovered that there is a court higher than the one called the Supreme, and she does not sit in the seat of the judge, but as the defendant. She will answer to a holy God, and remember every ounce of blood said she is responsible for, and every act of abomination she approved of. The justice of God knows no delay. The law of God knows no time. It is as it appointed a man once to die, but after that the judgment. For when the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Proverbs 11:10. God will repay her according to the deeds she has done. That's from Jeremiah Johnson. Thoughts on that, folks? Because the modern Christianity wants to tell us what a tragedy it is. If it wasn't a tragedy that Hitler died, why is it a tragedy that she died? Can somebody explain that to me, please?
Well, Coach, I know everybody's using that Proverbs. I used another passage of scripture, and I put the picture of her depicting and talking about how she thought at the time that Roe versus Wade was passed that it was to not have too many of the undesirables. Basically, she was a racist lady.
Hey, but Dale, see if you can find that on. I'm looking into the sun now. It's coming up beautifully. Mike, see if you can find that on my homepage, that meme that Dale put up. Because it was powerful, man. Go ahead. Keep talking about it. I'm sorry.
No, Psalms 52, 1 through 7 says this. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man, or Ruth Bader Ginsburg? The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction, and like a sharp razor, you love evil more than good. Falsehood is speaking what is right. You love all the words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous is going to see this in fear, and they will laugh at her, saying, behold, here is a woman who would not make God her refuge, but trusted in the abundances of her riches. and was strong in their evil desires.
Brothers, oh my goodness. I know I'm making some of you nervous. I want to say this again. I don't rejoice she's dead. Me, I would have been happier had she retired and still be alive. But I rejoice that she's no longer sitting on that court attacking the laws of God, undermining everything she can do. I can't find it, Mike. It's okay. That's what she, folks, that's what she did. Now, can somebody please make the other case for me, how we should all be mourning the fact that she died? Can somebody make that? Again, I'm sorry she's dead. I'm glad she will no longer ruin people's lives. Can somebody make the argument the other way? Want to try to?
Well, I'm not going to make the argument. My thought is that, you know, I just consider the source as what they say about how great she was and all that other stuff. So see, it's just propaganda. It's like Nelson Mandela, how wonderful he was, and all these other world leaders that were on there. They were furthering the left agenda and bringing down the country.
Hey, Chad, Hitler had good intentions. He had good intentions. In fact, he was a great leader. See, Right Wing Watch is going to take this out of context and use it. I got my tongue in my cheek here, right? Oh, he put together a great military. He did a lot of great things. In fact, he was one of the true, what's the word I'm looking for? He was reformed Germany. He did a lot of good things. He rebuilt their economy. We're just not going to hold this murder of these Jews against him, are we? He did a lot of great things. Oh, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, why, she advanced women's rights. She brought women out of the kitchen. Oh, she did so many good. You see where I'm going with this, folks? Wake the heck up, will you? She was destructive. She was wicked and destructive. Come on, this may not.
Look at the technology that we're using. Folks, look at Hitler's technology that we're using. Bayer, AG Farben, all the pharmaceuticals, all the car industry. That's all Hitler's.
Yeah. Okay. Amen, Jack. So, folks, I don't want to keep beating up on Ruth Bader Ginsburg this morning, but I want you to, hey, have some sense, will you? Will you have some sense and realize, wow. Hey, listen.
Hey, Coach.
Ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to Mike yesterday, and I think I mentioned it briefly to you, but I expanded on it with Mike. We're about to have control of all areas of power. So everything's psychological. And what we see here is, like, nobody wants to change behavior on any level, be it individually or the family. So when you want behavior change, you have tantrums being thrown. Kids throwing themselves on the floor, busting up things, or parents throwing their own tantrums. So we have a mass societal tantrum taking place. And the only thing that the left has, they got the old guard like Pelosi, and they got the new guard, some of the new guard, like AOC, that was a bartender 2 years ago, and now she's trying to tell us how to live.
Right.
And we are about to assume all other real levels of power. And then outside of those old guards and that pathetic new guard, all they have are thousands of college professors. And then they got their right now that can't function, burning down things that can easily be put down. They just look big and scary because they're breaking up the kitchen table.
But Bobby, they're probably going to break it up more, aren't they?
Yes, folks, absolutely.
Here's what we're going to find out. And I think that, again, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And I think part of what's going on is the Holy Spirit, Christ, is revealing the hearts of some of these wicked Republicans. Mike, your buddy Susan Collins up there in Maine, and that other wicked woman out there in Alaska, and Mittens Romney, right? We're finding out. Do you guys remember when Mitt Romney ran as Mr. Conservative? Mr. Conservative? And so now Mitt Romney is going to have the opportunity to put a true conservative, whatever that means, on the Supreme Court. We're going to trade Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the leader of the left, for a conservative. And Mitt Romney doesn't know what he wants to do. Susan Collins. And what's that lady over in Alaska? See, there's no, folks, there's just all this stuff's being revealed. All of this is being exposed for who they are and what they are. I don't know how this whole thing's going to play out. Because you know what's going to happen?
Coach, we need to fight fire with fire. And the women's movement began with bra burning. So we need to do the masculinity tour where we burn masks and show our masculinity.
Amen. Amen. But then listen, don't miss this, okay? Because the left is going to use this. The media is going to grab this and they're going to make Trump look like a dictator and he's ramming it through. When we all know that the job of the President of the United States is to nominate justices and the Senate is to approve them. Doesn't say anything about when or can't do it within the last year. All that stuff's all bogus. But see, they're doing, I believe, they've released her death now. Whether she died or whether she, whatever, I believe the information's come out now because they want to do everything they can to rally their base, to solidify the fact in their base that Donald Trump is a dictator and he doesn't care. That's, I think it's the last Trump card they're playing. Mike, you got an opinion on that. You're a lot smarter than me politically. Okay.
It's been a weekend at Ginsburg's for about, what, 5-6 months now, Coach?
Yeah, that's right. We all knew it was coming, right? We all knew it was coming. And so it should, I said I wasn't going to spend all the time talking about it. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, real quick, a different way to look at the Ginsburg thing is you're hearing a lot that, I'm moving away from my dog. You're hearing a lot of how she got along with everybody. You know, mm-hmm. Her and Scalia were best friends.
Yep.
And she even had breakfast with Clarence Thomas.
Yep.
And you hear a lot of that. But she never changed in her position. And what I mean is there's this go along to get, oh, we all just kind of talk and get along. But the left never changes their vote, their position.
No, it's the Washington.
That we hear just, oh, she was so friendly with Scalia. But the one thing she missed, the most important dialogue with Scalia that she probably rejected, was his faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm.
That was the most important message. That was the most important
dialogue.
Well,
Roger, even worse than that, she blocked people from having faith in Jesus Christ. Yes. That was her main job, right?
This is the woman, and I'll end on this, who said, we should look at other nations' court rulings and other nations' constitutions and implement some of their good stuff into our constitution.
Yep, that's what she said.
This is who's being glorified as some wonderful. That is treason. That's treasonous, what she did. But Amen. This idea that, she had breakfast with Clarence Thomas.
Oh, and she was such fun. She had a great sense of humor.
Yeah, she was
stuff,
a good
right?
friend with Scalia, and they were able to have dialogue and talk. But
she was a trailblazer, Roger. She was just a trailblazer. Oh my goodness, it makes me
blazing a trail to hell.
That's exactly right. See, and will the church stand up and say that? See, we're not even allowed to say it. We're not even allowed to judge the fruit of what it is she's done. And I'm sick and tired of lionizing people who don't deserve to be lionized. She does not deserve to be lionized for her destruction of the American culture. Sorry.
Who's promoting Ted Bundy?
Yeah,
hey, Coach, a couple points here. One is the day that she died, and basically the time that it came out was the Feast of Trumpets, was the blowing of the shofar.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's one point. Two, in Genesis chapter 4, after Cain kills Abel, this is what God says. He says, "What have you done?" It says, "The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." So even though she didn't necessarily kill them, she was in a position of children to protect them, okay? So right. I believe that blood, that all those people are going to be accounted for to her. And then the second thing is I would recommend everybody read 1 Kings chapter 1 and 2. And it talks about how Solomon takes over the throne and how there's basically a coup that's getting ready to happen. And Joab, who is the commander, who was David's commander, trusted commander, ends up being taken out by Solomon because he actually goes against Solomon. But in there it talks about how he is put to death because he killed two righteous men while he was with David, okay? And that his blood, it, you know, is accounted for those two righteous people that he killed while he was commander of Israel for David.
Amen.
So there's a lot of accountability for the blood of other people in the Old Testament for those who want to dig into it.
And Craig, I come well done, Craig, and I come back again to say the exact same thing. Hitler legalized the killing of 6 million Jews. He didn't do it. Hitler didn't put them in the. He didn't put them in those. In those ovens. He didn't do it. He legalized it. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she didn't abort those babies. She wasn't the one that did it. But she legalized it. Can somebody tell me the difference in those two positions? What do you think, Clay Parker? Can you tell me the difference in those two positions, Clay?
It's probably more what God thinks about those positions. And God holds people accountable for what they can do.
Church doesn't believe that anymore, Craig.
Well, they're not taught right. They're not taught right. And there's one more thing about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and it really why that wasn't pushed out more. She was officiating gay marriages before and during the period where they came in and changed the marriage law. She should have recused herself.
Yes, sir.
Her actions by officiating that. While that was going on and before it, should have recused her.
Yes, sir.
From making a decision.
I'm with you. Come on in.
I know
Hang on, Clay. Let Mark go, and then Clay. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, if you compare submitting to government mass control to submitting to getting on a train to your death in public, that'll trigger some Jews, Coach.
Yeah.
That'll trigger them.
Yep.
And they have no explanation for it being legal.
No. Nope.
They have no explanation for their actions. The men not standing up for their families, leading them to the train.
That's right.
What an example we have right in front of us.
Amen.
With vaccinations. You know, are we going to get on the train and it should trigger some people? Absolutely.
Well, it's legal, right, Mark? It's legal to get on the train now, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is amazing. Come on in, Clay.
Well, my thought is Hitler's kind of like Ginsburg, Hillary Clinton, different people like that. They're not really true leaders, Coach. A true leader can stand on their own, even if they don't have any support or money pushing them. They can lead a team, and they can make things happen. You know. Like you do, you know, you don't have to have millions of dollars behind you to lead. But Hillary Clinton, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they got to have the money pushing them because they're just a puppet. They're not a true leader. And Hitler, he wasn't a real man. He just had an agenda.
Yep.
That he was willing to push that people supported that had the money behind him. If you put him out there by himself and he didn't have the support behind him of the people that was really in control, he would fall the same way as Ruth Bader Ginsburg or Hillary Clinton or something like that. They're not a true leader.
Appreciate you, Clay. I appreciate you. Go ahead, Chad.
I was going to say, I want to follow up on that. See, that's why these people are picked, okay, because they're chosen, because they can be controlled, because they have leverage against them, because they are have a narcissistic mind or whatever. That now they can manipulate these people and be able to have influence over them and push this bigger agenda that you're talking about. Amen.
Chad, 87 years old. Ruth Ginsburg was 87 years old.
See, we ought to have term limits on that Supreme Court, too.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Chad, they said the whole idea was the Supreme Court wasn't supposed to be political, right? That's why they put them in there in life, so that they wouldn't be influenced by politics. Well, look what's going on. And see, this is the miracle of Donald Trump, God's hand on Donald Trump. This is going to be number three, right? Isn't this going to be the third judge that he puts into office? He may, if he gets elected again, folks, he may put in four and five. We don't know. Wouldn't it be great to see Kagan and Sotomayor and whoever the last, just those three all by themselves? How long are they going to hang around when they're
John Paul Stevens is next.
John Paul Stevens is dead and gone, I think, Dale. I think it's Breyer, isn't it? Isn't Breyer? Huh? All those lefties. We're in a sea change, and that's why I'm telling you, we are on the verge of victory. And that's also why the left knows we are on the verge of victory. That's why they're going to get so desperate. That's why things are going to be, we are going to see stuff happen in the next 50 some days that we would never, ever have believed could possibly happen in the United States of America. Because why? There's a devil loose, folks. Control America and you control the world. Control Christianity in America and you control the world. That's why the battle has always been between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. We are seeing evil doing everything it can to destroy righteousness, and that's the battle that's before us right now. Whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, are the American Christian Church, are American Catholics going to vote for Joe Biden when we have the opportunity to overturn abortion and who knows what else to stop this flood of evil? Are American Catholics going to vote for Joe Biden? God's drawing the line, folks. If you can't see it, if you can't understand what's going on, man, what a time to be alive. I'll shut up. Somebody come in. Yeah, Jeff.
Here's just a little way we're gauging it right now. A couple of things I'll share with you just to see what's going on out in the streets. But the last four or five Saturdays, we've been on that public square with the Democrats up at their sign. So Saturday, we start counting the numbers. We would get 22 horns for Trump and then one negative against us. I figured it up this week. Now, I'm going to watch this week and see how the numbers go this whole week. I just figured over the weekend, them Trump flags and them Trump hats I've been selling, I was off on the numbers. I thought I sold $7,000 or $8,000 worth. I'm at $11,000 worth of hats and flags in 8 months. It is crazy.
Well, make sure you report that to the IRS, Jeff. They got to kill babies with that money. I'm
that's a negative.
I'm kidding you. I'm trying to switch around here because the light's moving. I got water blowing on me here. I'm with you, Jeff. Hey, folks, listen. People ain't voting for Trump. It's for Biden. It's the cheating that we have to contend with now. That's what's going on. That's what we're going to see. Somebody else, come on. Hey, I like this, by the way. It's not just all me this morning. Come on in. Somebody, come on, man.
Well, I think John McCain gave her a good message. She was telling me, hey, look, don't worry about it, Ruthie. It's a dry heat.
That's it. You know, she's gonna be voting by mail now. Postmark, brimstone hell.
Hey, Jack, listen, folks. Do you really think Election Day is gonna come off? Do you really think that the left is going to allow us to have Election Day? I'm not joking.
Really, I don't think they ever.
Are they going to let us have
their plan is to extend Election Day into a non-election period of time where they can manipulate and cheat into the White House.
Okay, Larry. So, amen, Larry. So listen, folks, this is something I think is critically important for us to understand right now. Donald Trump, the Republicans have to ram this justice through, because here's why. We know that that the left is doing everything they can to make sure that Election Day is not a clean election verdict one way or another. We know that. And we know that because the election is going to be contested, it's going to end up in the lap of the U.S. Supreme Court. Gore versus Bush, Bush versus Gore, right? We know, folks, they're telling us that's what it's going to do. They've been telling us this is going to end up at the Supreme Court. But right now it's 4-4. It's 4-4.
Susan Collins is opposing it.
We have to have, listen, folks, we have to have an odd number so that there can be some decision at the Supreme Court, one way or another. And that's the horse that Trump ought to get on and ride and say, listen, we have to have a full Supreme Court to be able to deal with the aftermath of this election. We need a full Supreme Court. And that's where the left's going to scream and holler and say, oh, you're trying to rig the Supreme Court. You're trying, yada, yada, yada. Hey, understand this, will you? Donald Trump is still president of the United States. He was put in there to appoint justices. And as far as I know, no matter what happens, he's still president till January 20th. How far is that, folks? How many months is that? January 20th. See, this is, what is it, September, October, November, December. He's got 4 months left, right? 4 months left. They have to push that through because we have to have a full Supreme Court for all the chaos that's coming in the aftermath. Somebody come in.
You know, Coach,
I'd like to hear Chris Ann Hall's version.
Hey, guys, did you know that you don't have to be a lawyer to be on the Supreme Court? They just tell us that you do. You don't have to be a lawyer to be on the Supreme Court. Don't you? Isn't that something? We ought to become creative. How about this one? How about we get a Protestant on there? A real evangelifish Protestant. They want to put Amy Comey Barrett on. And she's probably pretty good, but she'll be the fifth Catholic, I believe. Fifth Catholic.
Chris Ann Hall. I want to see Chris Ann Hall. But
they ain't gonna put.
Is,
they ain't gonna put her on there. They ain't gonna put Judge Moore on there either.
Of course not. You know why? Her name's not on the.
Sure.
The flight log for Lolita Express.
That's a good one. We know right now. We know right now they already got an approved list. We don't trust the courts. We don't trust them for sure. I don't trust Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. If they voted the way that we wanted them to, nah. I don't trust Roberts. So all that stuff doesn't matter. But this is a battle over good and evil, the way I see it. Go ahead, Chad.
All right. So I've been kind of theorizing this based on information, blah blah blah. Okay. So they drag out to the Supreme Court appointment till quote unquote after the election. But then the election becomes contested. And then the Republicans lose the Senate. They only need 4 seats to lose the Senate.
Right.
And then now, okay, what happens then? Pelosi becomes interim president, and then she nominates somebody and gets put in there because now they've won the Senate.
No, oh, Chad, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're a conspiracy theorist, Chad. That'll never happen. See, folks, what he's talking about? It makes sense. I had to turn around. I'm getting cold. I had to get in the sun a little bit here. And by the way, I'm running low on battery here too, right? Hey folks, listen. Don't put anything past the wicked left. The devil is in control. He schemes. Don't put anything past him. Come on in.
I would encourage listeners this morning to go to Steve Quayle's site. There's an excellent posting by one of the authors that sent stuff to Steve about what the next 4 months could look like.
Yeah, Mike Adams. Yes,
and,
Mike Adams. Yeah,
and I think he does a very decent job of laying out what's going to be in front of us through the inauguration. It's on stevequayle.com. It's an excellent article. I would encourage people to read it and prep, you know, help and get prepared.
Mike Adams, a health ranger. Mike, I don't know if you can dig that and throw that up there or not. I'm not going to take time to read it right now, but if you go down there, Mike, I think it's a set. Well, he's put some new stuff up there now, probably this morning. But if you scroll down there, you'll see it.
There's a lot of big names that are talking about the turmoil and chaos is what can happen no matter who appears to win on election day or election week or election month or whatever it turns out to be. But there's a bottom line for whichever side. It doesn't matter which side comes ahead. The bottom line is this. Anybody with a little bit of prudence is going to be prepared. They're going to have some food stored up. They're going to make preparations for months of pure chaos in this country.
I think so, Larry. Folks, you don't understand, man. Listen, you don't understand. This is a spiritual war. Are you listening to me? This is a spiritual war. America is under judgment. And what we're going to decide right now is whether or not God is going to be merciful to America if we will turn from our wicked ways. I believe this is our last opportunity to restore America. And the only way it's going to be restored, the battle between good and evil is being, folks, it's being fought. Whether you're engaged in it or not, whether the churches are engaged in it or not, the battle is raging. And the churches are missing in action. The churches are not getting involved. So the devil's team is running rampant. So what happens? All of a sudden, the Lord says, okay, well, boom. Ruth Bader Ginsburg are no longer around. Okay, church, where are you now? What are you going to do now, church? That's what I think's going on. That's what I see. It all comes back to the church. And will the church arise and do what it's supposed to do and give God an opportunity to forgive our sins, heal our land? Go ahead, somebody. If my battery goes off here and you lose me, God bless you. I don't know how much time I got. Go ahead.
It was, Coach, I just on another side note.
Go ahead, Dale.
And so I was actually talking about that Sunday, about the Trump of Feast. Not only that, but talking about Goliath and the Nephilims and Father the and the fallen spirits. But I was talking out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 the other day in football practice to one of my offensive coordinators who's with the FBI. And I said, he goes, you know, it's just amazing that these people, the things that they believe makes your head tilt. I said, yeah, because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2:11 says, and for this reason, God sends upon them a deluding influence that
strong
they
delusion.
Might believe
yep.
what
yep.
is false.
Yep.
And when you read the whole context, one of the things it talks about, this is obviously the power of Satan. It says, because he knows his time is short.
Amen.
And as we see this, brother, this is unfolding. What we would have thought on Thursday, what happened to Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Friday, is, I believe, nothing compared to what's going to happen in the month of October.
Well, Dan, it's all, I'm just trying to warn everybody, man. It's all ramping up, man. It is all ramping up beyond what we can understand, buddy.
Okay, so Nancy Pelosi has even said we're not going to take off the table a possible re-impeachment, right? We're going to.
Yes.
I mean, they're throwing that out there, and they don't realize that they're overplaying their hand because I don't think it's a good thing. But the truth is Trump holds the ultimate Trump card. And it's called martial law. And under martial law, all elections cease. Constitution is put on hold, which is a scary thought to have something like that happen. But there's a potential.
I'm with you, Dale. I'm getting kind of backed up here because they're trying to run me out of here again. Go ahead. Somebody help me. Keep coming in there. I love hearing you.
Hey, Coach. About all the anarchists and the evil going to all the Republican senators' houses. That's where they're going to be going.
Again, I've been saying this for a while. Man, is it windy? It must. God, I can't believe how strong the wind is. Listen, folks, this is what the whole thing is about. And I believe it is, again, the revealing of these phony Republicans. They're all being exposed for who they are and what they are. We've got three of them here. You do know this, that it only takes, the Republicans can lose three votes, right? They can lose Murkowski, and they can lose Collins, and they can lose Mitt Romney, 50-50, Mike Pence breaks the tie. So they're going to have the votes. And then you got to consider a guy like Doug Adams, guy down in Alabama, who's going to get beat by Tommy Tuberville. He's a, you remember the whole Judge Roy Moore thing. That guy's down there. Is he going to vote? Is he going to? You mean to tell me that Doug Jones is going to vote not to replace a judge and still get elected in Alabama? So this thing can swing a couple ways, but it doesn't matter. 50-50, they win, and they got to ram it through and make it happen. Now let me throw one more thing out there that I want you to consider as I'm walking here, folks. They are going to. We have to ask ourselves this, which is more important, the re-election of Donald Trump or replacement of Ruth Ginsburg? Because we could reach a point where those two things come in direct conflict, because the media is going to, if Trump tries to replace, if Trump replaces Ginsburg and they push it through, then you know what the mantra is going to be. He's a dictator. He's a dictator. Look what he did. He's a dictator. And enough idiots it might turn enough idiots that he would not win re-election. I think that kind of thing's a real possibility. So we have to ask ourselves, which is more critical, the re-election of Donald Trump or the replacement of Ruth Ginsburg? What's your take on that, fellas?
I think there's another question that needs to enter into the equation, and that is, if he does get Barrett through and on the court, and he does lose the election, and we lose the House and the Senate and the White House, his appointment of Barrett may not mean a whole lot, because they will simply add however many judges they need to add, so they'll have a majority again.
Well, we're in unbelievable times, aren't we, folks? The stuff that's breaking through. What a time to be alive, at least from a very perspective. Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, this is Jerry.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Just also another thing to consider about the justices, the justices, Thomas are getting up there in age.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but we have to. Whew, my God, it's breezy. Folks, we have to consider a lot of things, man. I'm just telling you. These next 60 some days are going to be like we've never ever imagined in the United States of America. We need now people talk a lot about praying and doing. Get your house in order. America would deserve whatever the Lord would bring upon us. We all know that, right? We know that the devil, as Dale said, the devil's knows his time is short. We know his minions are being controlled. We live in capitalism. Get your house in order. Anybody help me wind up here? I don't even know what time it is. I got a beautiful sunrise. And the wind's blowing about 90 miles an hour. It's about, I don't know what. I'm freezing. I got to go clear up
hey,
there.
Dave,
yeah, right.
Is the water warm enough to get in or not?
If you have the courage to try it, it probably is. I mean, it's not that cold. It's just the wind chill factor is like, it's unbelievable.
I hope you're going to meet up with Larry.
I will. So I just saw Larry a couple days ago. I don't need to see him again, although I might.
Hey, but, Coach.
Yes, yes.
Hey, I want to add one thing. You say, what can we do? And we all know we're faith without works and action is worthless. But here's what we can do at home, Coach. It's David said, who can ascend to the hill of God? It says, I'll tell you who can. Who can come? It's the man that has a clean heart, a pure heart and clean hands, and he doesn't give his soul over to idols. Amen. Coach, we need to do this at home. We need to get before God and give up our idolatry so that when we pray, God, when we pray, we can come to God, Coach. We have our authority. Our prayers have authority. They have an effect.
Yes.
Coach, we need to clean our heart and get right with God at home. And then, Coach, when we pray, it has an effect. It will tear down strongholds. So, Coach, that's what we can do right there.
Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Idolatry, Coach. Remove the idols, folks. Remove your idols. Remove your idols.
If you open that door straight.
Get your house in order. 2 minutes. I heard somebody say 2 minutes. Anybody want
to? Water temperature 79 at Pier 14.
Well, listen.
And the air.
I'm going to walk out here a little bit towards the beach. These waves, bear with me, folks. Oh, my goodness. I got down off the hill. It's not as windy out here by the water. Oh, my goodness. Hang on. I'm walking through the sand here. Look at me walking through the sand. It says, keep off the dunes. This is what all you have to do, friends. I get too far away, I'm going to lose my signal here. You think there's not a God, huh? You think there's not a God? Come out here and you stand upon this. Those waves never stop. That sun comes up the same place every morning. Huh? You think there's not a God? You look down that beach all the way down through there. Because what does the Bible say? Those waves aren't allowed to come out of there. Where they're not allowed to come out of this. They got to stay within that space that he laid out. He controls them. They never stop. Hey, he ain't worried about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Lord ain't worried about all that stuff. We just have a job we have to do. Be faithful to what Amen. It is he's called us to do. And trust that God will, that he'll do his part of it. I'm honored. Just want to say this publicly, to be here with all my grandkids. Be able to take them. Yesterday they ran out in the ocean for the first time, and my little nippers can hardly walk, got knocked down by those waves. And see the look on their face when that happened to them. I'll never forget the rest of my life. Be able to be with them and see them do that. Got some fun times ahead. And I just thank God for it. Thank God for all you guys. Gotta run.